speaking today with David Crossley, who is the president of Houston Tomorrow, which is, among other things, an organization that advocates for regional transportation and mobility. And David, you and your organization, along with some other transit advocates, such as the Citizens Transportation Coalition, have come out against the Metro referendum. That's what we're here to talk about. So let me start with the basic question, which is, give me at a high level, why you oppose the Metro referendum.
Well, our mission here is improve the quality of life in the Houston region. And so for over a long period of time, we have come up with a series of indicators for that that lead to cleaner air, less flooding, and all that. And basically, it comes out to be this thing we call walkable urbanism. And in order to have a community in which it's possible for a large number of people to lead have very low carbon footprints and have a high quality of life and be healthy, you need to have those places where it is walkable connected to other places by transit. So the essential formula is pedestrian-intensive places connected to other pedestrian-intensive places by transit. So this referendum is basically offering the choice of ending or the expansion of our light rail system, which would reach out into Greens Point and many other places to be joined by buses, or not ending it. And so we have to take the position that we do not want to end it. As you know, part of the requirement of the deal with Harris County and with the developers was that Metro would not use any of the incremental money showing up for rail. So it has to all be focused on buses, bus shelters, and so forth, and not really any new service, just longer hours and more shelters. So.
Well, I'm certain that when I speak to Chairman Garcia about this, that he would dispute your characterization that this would end rail. Why do you believe that this would prevent Metro from expanding its existing light rail network any further? And really, to get to be totally clear here, we're really primarily talking about the University Line here. So why do you believe that?
Well, the University Line is the next one, and but there's 90A, there's...
Sure, but I mean, so none of those are likely to happen in the next 10 years anyway.
So, why not?
Well, federal funding for one thing.
So if that's the truth, though, we've got to learn how to take care of ourselves. I mean, we pass hundreds of millions of dollars through the Houston-Galveston Area Council that could be used for transit, and we don't ask for it, you know, from the state and other sources. So I disagree. I think if Metro had its 25 cents back, we would see pretty significant expansion of the rail system, which is what we foresaw in 2003. And so if we could say, for instance, okay, we're not going to use federal funds for the University Line, and therefore John Culberson becomes a non-entity in the discussion, and we build it with our own money, as we did some of the others, then we could do it. So, but there isn't any money for Metro to build rail if they don't get some of this sales tax increment. And we're saying now the county wants the rail expansion to stop for 10 years. And you know that in 10 years, if we actually cripple the city of Houston and growth slows down and Harris County passes the city in terms of its population, it takes over Metro, and that's the end of rail period, except for commuter rail, because they have their own agency, of course, for that.
All right. Well, the agreement specifically said, and we're only talking about the amount of revenue increases starting in 2014 going through 2025, that amount of money, half of that revenue increases would go to Metro under this referendum. The rest would continue to go to the general mobility program. Metro is still free to spend whatever other money it has that it wants, but it's just this amount of money. Metro has pointed is in dedicating the money to buses and debt reduction. Their argument is, one, they have debt they need to deal with, and two, you know, that 2003 referendum did also include provisions for the expansion of bus service.
Right.
But that hasn't happened since 2003. In fact, Metro has in many cases, reduced bus service. So what's wrong with, you know, increasing bus service?
Absolutely nothing. We need to increase the bus service. We need to help eventually keep all the promises that were in the 2003 referendum. But that promise was predicated, really, and everybody knew it when they were voting, on the idea that we would have a core rail system that was fed by all these buses. And to the extent we don't have the rail system, then we're putting buses back on the city's... You know, we took 200 buses, I think they say 200 buses an hour, off of Main Street by putting that light rail line. Well, you know, is that what we're going to do? Is we're going to build up hundreds and hundreds of buses in order to replace the services of a much higher capacity rail system? Doesn't strike me as being a good way to reduce congestion. But anyway, I agree that we need to do much better bus service, and that we need to totally rethink the bus system. And fortunately, that's going to happen with Christoph Spieler leading a committee to do that. And which means also rethinking the entire system. If the yes vote wins, we're going to have to really be very creative to find a way to move people around without being allowed to spend money on rail. So if Chairman Garcia would dispute what I'm saying, then I'd be surprised in terms of whether there's going to be any more rail or not, because there isn't going to be any more rail if we vote yes. Now, that doesn't mean the county, with its Gulf Coast Rail District, can't build commuter rail out to Hockley and so forth. But we're not going to have rail developing in the city or in the metro service area that is urban in nature. And so we have to get that this is the smartest rail strategy in the country that Metro has been pursuing. That if we could just get the university line in and these three lines that are under construction now, we'd have about, whatever it is, 35 miles or something. A third of what Dallas has, but we'd have twice the ridership. So you know, efficiency counts. And if you go to places where people are, as opposed to going way out into the suburbs to get people who are scattered out there, you get very high ridership and you get very high bang for your buck. So we turn that away, and do something that's much more suburban in nature. Then we begin to do what we call sprawl as an official policy of everybody, which, of course, is exactly what Harris County wants.
So at last report, the university line had gotten a record of decision from the Federal Transportation Administration, which allowed them to be eligible for federal funding, and as we both know, that's been hung up for a variety of reasons, most of which can be pointed at Congressman Culberson, but not all of that. I mean, no. The bureaucracy takes its time, and Metro had its issues in years past as well. Do we know what the latest cost estimate for building just the university line is? My understanding was that it was the most expensive piece of it, something on the order of about $1 billion. Am I in the ballpark here?
I hear between $700 million and $1 billion. That's right, and it's the longest piece. And, it's an expensive thing to do. And I have to point out that a third almost of that, though, is just doing work for the city. It has nothing to do with transit. I mean, the three lines that are being built right now, about a third of all those dollars are city work, doing burying utilities, moving utilities, putting new street paving, sidewalks, you know, pipes, all that stuff. And so not only does Metro have to do all this work for the city, but it then has to pay the city so it can go do work somewhere else. We could get to a moment, perhaps, where the city would use its mobility money to prepare transit spaces, which would all of a sudden have Metro's costs go way, way down. But they have so far there's no way to do this. So let's say it's going to be $1 billion, and you could take a third of that out, and that's whatever that is, $700 million. And then you say, well, let's just do what was promised in 2003, which was only from Main Street to Hillcroft. Okay, didn't include the east side and the universities. That came later as a promise. So now maybe you're down to $500 million. So let's say you only do it to Greenway, which would connect big centers together. Now maybe what are you down to, $400 million or something? That bridge across the Southwest Freeway is going to be expensive. I'm just saying, you can figure this, and this is not my figuring either. This is Christoph Spieler's kind of thinking, how can we get something to happen, and what could the cost be? So it becomes doable, you know. It's just the, we need to be clever about it, and we need to be able to go over to SJC and sort of not let all of those funds be diverted to 290 and 288 and all of that stuff.
Have you brought these concerns to Metro, and what kind of a reception have you gotten?
I watched. I'm on the technical advisory committee over there at HJC, and I watched as that $488 million of found money that TxDOT found and said, "Here, you can have this," earlier this spring, was on the agenda, and I sent a note to both the city and to the Metro saying, you know, you could get some of this. Some of it's flexible. It's not clear how much, but it's a couple of hundred million and could be used. And as far as I know, they didn't apply, didn't ask. I don't know why. It could be because it was going to be very, very hard to do with the counties in complete control of HGAC, but would have been worth a try. Happened again the year before, not that much, $78 million, something like that, that just goes off into road projects because nobody asks.
Well, the main concern that some people have had, like myself, is that, and this was true when, you know, the initial proposal came out that was just going to redirect the GMP money instead of reallocating some of it to Metro. And it's true now. The concern is that if the general mobility program is voted down, that, well, first of all, there's nothing to stop Metro from reallocating some of that money to general mobility anyway, and two, that the legislature could step in and do Lord only knows what. Now, I know you have talked about the future composition of Metro at the end of, you know, this 10-year period. I guess I'm more concerned about what the 2013 legislature would do than the 2025 legislature. But are you concerned that if this referendum is voted down, that the legislature might step in and, you know, do something that you really don't like?
I've said this a lot. It's very hard for me to imagine that a legislature is going to overturn the vote of a jurisdiction, that it's going to say, we don't like the way the people voted there, and so we're just going to change it. I'm not sure there's any history of that. And
there was a bill that was passed in 2011 to overturn the Renew Houston vote. It didn't get passed all the way, but it did make it out of the Senate, as I recall.
Yeah, so, well, that's what I mean. The how these things finally happen, I just can't see it. But you know, the Texas legislature, who knows? I mean, I totally agree with that. Wild card stuff. But that's a different fight. The fight, in order to say, okay, we are afraid something might happen, and therefore we'll do it ourselves. In other words, instead of having them just destroy our transit system, we'll destroy it ourselves. I don't get that, you know. I mean, I can tell you, if at this moment, the way it looks is that the legislature and Harris County and the developers are already in charge of Metro. Right? I mean, they forced this vote on us, and so we have to go do it. Now, I would also say, I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks that if the people vote no, that meant that they were indeterminate. I think if the people vote no, do not continue GMP, that means do not continue GMP. And you can't just say, okay, well, Metro Board is going to do it anyway, or the mayor's going to force it anyway, as both of them have said they would do. I mean, that's a little hard for me to see. We're saying, people say, don't do something, and then the Metro Board, the mayor, and the legislature all do it anyway? I just can't see that. But then I'm just very naive about Texas politics.
Okay. You know, how much, I mean, again, the belief that you have, and, you know, I certainly understand where it's coming from, that a yes vote here means no more rail built after what we've already got for 10 years. Do you have any smoking guns, any evidence from inside Metro to suggest that what you're saying will come about, or is this more, you know, you've studied, you've looked at it, you see the evidence, and you can't see any other way for it to go that way?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot.
Have you heard from anyone inside Metro who said, you're right, this is what's going
to
happen?
Yes, sure. Talk to them. I mean, with the exception possibly of Gilbert, I mean, I think that's pretty widespread that that's it for rail. You know, I would say, I would watch the sign as the planners start to leave the agency and go somewhere else because there's nothing to do here. You know, I mean, they're all waiting for November, and then we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the agency just fall apart.
Okay.
But that is not anybody... Well, a couple of people have said things like that, but that's just being pessimistic. But that's more my just imagining that's what would happen if you were a rational person and you were there to be a rail planner and you weren't going to do rail. Well, you'd go someplace where they are going to do rail.
Okay, so let's say the vote goes the way you want it. The voters vote down the GMP, whether they realize what they're doing or not, because we both know there's going to be some people who vote no on a Metro referendum regardless. But let's say that happens. Metro accepts what the vote is, the legislature, what's your strategy after that? What will you advocate for once that happens?
Well, we've feel like there's two things we have to worry about. You know, one is if that happened, if we actually won this thing, one is how do we say to both the mayor and the Metro board that this means that people want to continue the rail program and that they want robust expansion of transit and that that's your job. And so we don't want to see you giving this money to Piney Point Village or whatever, you know, certainly not to Harris County, to sprawl expansion. So do they pay any attention to us? Maybe not, you know. I mean, does the legislature pay any attention to us? Maybe not, you know. It's not like we're, you know, some giant political party. It's like we're a dozen or so people trying to figure out how to save the city and the region and then finding we have a lot of friends. That's all. So it's not like this is very organized, and certainly it's not like we have money, you know. So another dynamic you haven't asked about, but I'll just mention right now, is this fear thing, fear of the legislature, fear of Walt Mischer Jr., and so forth. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that you would assume are fervent rail supporters, and they are with the mayor on this. And when you ask them why they're with the mayor, it's because I have contracts with the city, or I need a permission, I need something to happen that the city does. It's all fear, you know, and it's like people just don't know what to do. They're put in such a bad position that everything that's happening is operating as a result of fear. None of it really, you know, has substantial basis, just fear. And all of us are afraid, you know. I mean, we're afraid on the other side of, you know, the city just going in the tank. I mean, we see the growth in the city had just slowed down to possibly nothing. We don't know what the latest numbers are, but, you know, the last decade, three times as many people moved into unincorporated Harris County as moved into the city of Houston, or were born, or whatever, you know. So the population growth of the city has just declined dramatically, and maybe down to nothing. If you can't promise to people that there's going to be an exciting and interesting urban lifestyle anywhere in the city, what's going to happen? You know, are we talking about the city just becoming Detroit? That's a little excessive, but I'm frankly more worried than anything at all about the city becoming stagnant because it doesn't pursue urbanism, and all the other cities in the United States are pursuing urbanism, and so no contest. You know.
Okay, what is your strategy in the event that you don't get the vote you want, that this passes? What is your strategy to make the best of situation you didn't want?
Well, I mean, for us, it's always been as many light rail neighborhoods as we can get. We'll try to do whatever we can to help make those work. So even without university or post-oak or whatever else might have happened, we're still going to have a lot of neighborhoods in 2014 that have light rail stations. And those neighborhoods can all develop as walkable places that at various scales, some of them very small kinds of things with corner stores, and some of them downtown, and you know. And so that's been our plan all along, tuck that up. Particularly interested in the East End because what's happening there is so good. The way they're planning and the way it's evolving is perfect, you know. And so there will be, I think, an explosion of people wanting to live there along the East End, and it will have its light rail. So we'll, obviously we'll have to make the best of it. But the really interesting thing is to look at the map and see that over a long period of time, nearly all the transportation investment in the region has been on the west side of Main Street, out to, you know, wherever. This will be, all of a sudden, if this passes, we'll see all of the urban investment or possibilities are on the east side. And how big could that be? You know, if you look and you get it that there was $4 billion worth of development, of taxable increase along Main Street, just in that 7 miles. What's going to happen on the North Line and East End and even the South? And now that the Third Ward is on a program to try to develop and improve the Third Ward, we could see 500,000 people living on the east side and all of that becoming the place that young people want to live. So we'll do everything we can to try to help.
Okay. David Crossley, thank you very much for talking to me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.